All right, so this morning we'll continue our seminars on the marriage covenant here in Lagos at the Bible Guest House. Yesterday we laid the foundation for, we looked at the authority of God's word as it pertains to our marriage, and then we broadly introduced the whole subject of the marriage covenant. Just to help us understand that when we took those vows in church or wherever we got married, we are actually entering into a covenant. Many times we don't see that ceremony as something that serious. And I've seen that that's why many people, marriage sort of blindsides many people, because suddenly their spouse is making demands and they're wondering, now why are you making such demands on me? You have no right to be expecting me to do this. And it's simply because when we said I do, we didn't realize that we are actually entering into a serious covenant with our wives. And the one thing that came out yesterday is the point, fact that that covenant was with God. So this morning we'll take, we started looking at the different components of the covenant we entered with God as it pertains our wives or our marriage. We looked at the husband covenanting before God to be the spiritual leader of his wife. We also looked at the wife covenanting before God to spiritually submit to her husband's leadership. And this morning we'll be looking at the husband meeting her emotional need as part of his covenant before God to his wife. So let's pray and then we'll continue. Lord, thank you that your word is clear about the things you expect of us in our marriage. Thank you that we have access to your word. And more than that, that we have your Holy Spirit to instruct us in your word. So as we look in your word in this matter of husbands meeting their wives' emotional needs, open our eyes to see wonderful things from your word. Use your word to renew our minds and renew how we think about our marriages, and transform us so that we'll better be able to align ourselves to what your word says concerning how to meet the covenant needs of our wives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we were asking the question, when you think about your wife's emotional need, what comes to your mind? Someone has said, you know, understanding her mood, trying to understand what she needs, right? What else comes to your mind when you think about your wife's emotional needs?
Well, there are basically matters that come here with our feelings, conditions, that make her feel happy, fulfills, gives her peace of mind.
Yeah, so the matters of feelings. And for us men, those are things that we find, most men find that very difficult, isn't it? Because they are not tangible things, and they are not things like machine. If I turn on this switch, I expect that the light should come on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Feelings are not, don't submit to those kind of principles. 1 + 1 = 2, not so with feelings. And so many of us men find it difficult and frustrating. It reminds me of when I was a little boy. My mother would cook a particular type of food in a particular way, and I would enjoy it. She would cook the same thing the same way another time, and I would totally not be interested. So, but the good thing came out of that, because that's how she got frustrated and kicked me through the kitchen. So I go cook it the way you want. So that's how, from a very early age, I learned to cook. So today, I'm hoping that God's word will do the same thing for us, kick us into this very gray area for us, so that we'll be better husbands the way God wants us to be. Our main text is going to be Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Of course, so let somebody read Ephesians 5, verse 25 for us. 25 to 28 and verse 33, I think.
Ephesians 5:25. Say, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any of such things, but that it should be holy and without blame. So that men to love their wife as their own body. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Is it 33?
33.
33, okay. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Okay, thank you. Did anything strike you from those verses as you heard them being read? What stood out for you? Did any phrase or clause or word stand out for you from those verses?
Same body,
okay.
Verse 28, it would sound a bit funny. Say, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Message Bible says they are really doing themselves a favor. So it might be worth thinking, how does loving my wife mean, you know, doing
yourself a favor? Okay. Good point. You are doing yourself a favor. Okay, God is actually, apart from the fact that God is commanding us men to love our wives, he's actually giving us a motivation. They say, hey, men, if you do this, you're actually doing yourself a favor. We'll see later on, how that amount or can amount to doing ourselves a favor. I like which translation did you read? Sorry, what's your name? Yes.
Gideon,
okay, I didn't...
King James.
Sorry? Okay, you read King James. Yes. And it says, nevertheless. You know, English students, when you hear nevertheless, even if you clear out the table, all those other things I've said before, this one thing, or you can't clear off the table. And he goes and repeats the thing. Nevertheless, husbands should... Is this should it used in that King James?
So nevertheless, let everyone of you in particular so love
his wife,
even as
himself. Nevertheless, let some translation says husbands must.
New International Version.
NIV says
must.
So it's a command. So look, if you forget everything else that has been said in these couple of verses, this one, men. Don't forget. And then there is a last sentence there for the women. So let's dig in. One thing that comes clear from this passage is that God is commanding men to do what? Love their wives. It's not optional. And, you know, he shows us how we need to love our wives. And he says, as Christ loves the church. And so when you think about the ways Christ loved the church, he will give you an idea of how we are to love our wives, especially in this area of meeting their emotional needs. But before we dig into that, let's clarify this. Those emotional needs are God-given needs. Isn't that true? Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, isn't it? So just as God created us men with unique needs, he created women to have those emotional needs. We may not understand it, we may not find it easy, but God is not asking us to understand those needs. Did he ask us to try to understand them? No. He's asking us to meet the needs, whether you understand it or not. Whether you understand, just like, what's your favorite color, Gideon? What's your favorite color? You do, it's just that you haven't had it. Okay, what's your favorite food?
But you have asked me that over and over again.
What's your favorite food?
Rice.
Rice. Why do you like rice more than any other, more than bread or pounded yam?
It's growing up, I mean, from the very background. If you want to cook rice, I would like Christmas Day like
this. Okay.
It turned out to be our favorite food.
It turned out to be our, yes, it turned out to be your favorite food. How? Why?
No.
You don't know. It may not necessarily be the sweetest food that you have eaten, but somehow it became your favorite. Madam Letan, what's your favorite food? You have many favorites. Okay, what's one of your favorite meals?
Tea and bread.
Tea and bread. Why do you like tea and bread?
I just can't tell.
Yes, you can't tell. I just like it. Now, if somebody begins to quarrel with you for liking tea and bread, how will that make you feel?
I think I would feel bad.
Yes, and that's actually the way our wives feel when we begin, because most many men I find that emotional aspect of our wives frustrating. I do sometimes. And it makes our wives bad that we are feeling frustrated, that they are expressing a legitimate need, that they can't understand why they feel that way or why they want you to do those things for them. It's just the way God created them, that they have those emotional needs, and he gave them to us to meet those emotional needs on his behalf. So we don't have to understand why. All we have to do is meet those needs according to God's word. Husbands must love their wives. And loving our wives includes meeting their emotional needs, because that's part of our wives, isn't it? Remember when you were cutting? All the nice things you did, right? Yeah. You called them how many times? Several times a day you will call or text. True or false? I remember those days when I was dating a girl. Every weekend, I was in Port Harcourt during national service. She was serving in Uyo. Every weekend, I had the car. I would jump in the Friday from office straight to Uyo. Some days it will be Monday that I'll be heading back trying to meet up work in Port Harcourt. Or when I eventually met my wife, she was living in a different part of town. In fact, two or three times a week, I would drive the nearly 35 kilometers from Jos City to the outskirts of Jos where she was. Two or three times a week, and I would do it gladly. Yes. But now, imagine that I have to do that, I'll be feeling, are you crazy, my friend? But those were the things that endeared me to her, you know? Those things, we'll spend hours gisting. Sometimes we'll just sit down listening to music. Or go out to the beach with some picnic. Those happen once in a while now. And so you wonder why your wife is not as happy as she used to be when you were dating. You have stopped doing those little things that you knew how to do that time, right? But somehow after you said, I do, you pack those things in the box and box them away, and then you wonder, why is she not happy as she used to be when we were dating? My wife has changed. She hasn't changed. You've just stopped meeting her emotional needs. So, how does Christ meet our emotional needs? Because it says, love your wives as Christ loves the church. What are some of the things Christ does to meet our emotional needs? One of them we find in Hebrews 4:16. Felix, do you want to read that for us?
Why would people want him to get ready? If you have questions, do you wait till the end of the session?
Wait, write down your questions because our times are very short. So there is a question and answer session just before lunch.
Okay.
Yes. Felix, are you ready?
Yeah. Hebrews 4:16.
It
says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay, what did he say we should do? Come boldly. To where?
To the
throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? God's presence. Who gave us access to God's presence?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Question. Does your wife have access to you? You know what I mean? You know, there are some men that are so busy that their wives have to book appointments to see them, right? They are big men. They are running big organizations. Or even us. You may say, no, my wife doesn't have to book appointment to see me. But does she really see you? How often, how easily can she reach you? Or do you reach her? Because access, right? If she doesn't have access to you, she can't talk to you, she can't share her concerns with you, right? Yeah, so Jesus Christ loves us and granted us unlimited access to God the Father. And so he says we can come boldly. Does your wife know that she can talk to you just about anything? Is she afraid to share her mind or her heart with you? In case you're not wondering, how does this work out in this thing about coming boldly before God? And how does that play in my relationship with my wife? Can she talk to you anytime, anywhere, about anything? The same way Jesus granted us access to God, that we can talk to God about anything, isn't it? Yeah, you'll not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. But not anything. Cast all your cares, right? Have you given your wife that freedom, permission to cast all her cares on you without criticizing her or shutting her down? I used to be an early bird before, when I was single. By 9 o'clock, my eyes will start shutting down by themselves. But my wife is the opposite. I'll sleep early and wake up early. My wife will sleep late and wake up late. So one of our earliest points of conflict was that matter of sleeping early. Because by the time she's ready to come to bed, I was ready and probably have slept 2 hours already. Or if I didn't, around that 9 o'clock when my eyes are shutting down by themselves, that's when she's wants to talk to me, and I will be battling with sleep, and she will get angry and we'll quarrel. But of course, I'm learning nowadays. You can see me, you can find me as awake up to 10 p.m., sometimes up to 11 p.m., just so that I'll be awake when she wants to talk. Women like to be listened to, isn't it? Does a wife like to be listened to? Yes, I read a joke. It was said like a joke, but it's true. that research has shown that the average woman needs to speak at least 8,000 words in a day, and the average man just about 2,000. So the joke was that, so men, when your wife wants to talk, just understand that she needs to meet her daily quota. But yeah, I mean, it's like a joke, but the reality, but that's the truth. Women want to express themselves. One day we visited a very good family friends in Jos. We hadn't seen them in a while. So my friend and I went, we drink coffee together, and that's when we catch up. And my wife and his wife also. So after a while, before long I came back, my wife said, aren't you going to talk with your friend? I said, we are finished. It doesn't take us 10 minutes to catch up. But 1 hour, the women are just warming up. So sometimes we wish our wives were like us. I was there. How was your day? We will say, we can answer that in 2 sentences and done. But ask your wife, she'll tell you what happened on the way to the market, what happened at every corner of the market, and all of that. That's their nature. And God wants us to listen to them, to be themselves. That's how we meet their emotional needs. What about this Philippians 4, 6, and 7 we talked about? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what makes your wife anxious? What does it feel like to live with an anxious woman? Damian understands. He's smiling. Is it funny to live with an anxious woman? No. Do you know what makes her anxious?
No. You
don't. Okay, let me give you an idea of some of the things that make your wife anxious. When your rent is falling due and she's not sure if you have the money, if you have planned to pay the rent on time. When you tell her that visitors are coming and you didn't follow that information with the money, the extra money that it will require, right? When visitors are coming, yes, alone you can manage, right? You can add as much water as you want into the whole soup. But when visitors are coming, and you announce that to her, and don't support that announcement with extra money, it causes her anxiety. How am I going to give? What am I going to give these visitors? Oh, the house is not in order. Our curtain is torn, has been needing replacement since last year. The children's pamper, the baby's pamper is finished. She's been talking to you about it for 2 weeks now, or for 2 days now, and you haven't acted as if you heard her. The light bulb in the kitchen is not functioning well, and she's been telling you, the bulb in the kitchen is dead, died though. You haven't done anything about it. If you have school-age children, school will soon resume. And you haven't assured her that the school fees money is ready. Those are some of the things that make your wife anxious. So, do you know what makes her anxious? Because an anxious wife is not a pleasant wife. What are you doing to reduce or eliminate those things that cause her anxiety? How does Jesus deal with our anxiety? What are some of the ways Jesus loves us and deals with our anxiety? Can you think about any? What about when he said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you? Does that deal with an anxiety? Yes. The assurance that he's with you always, isn't it? Does your wife know, have that assurance that come rain, come shine, you are not going anywhere? Or you are the type that threaten your wife with, I'll send you back to your father, his father's house. Many, I know Christian men who do that. It causes her anxiety. You may have said it only once since the 10 or 20 years you've been married. She will not forget it. Or you raised your hand even if it didn't land. She will not forget it. Because she will like, that day you only raised up. Who knows what will happen the next time? So one of the ways Jesus assures us and calms our anxiety is with words of assurance, isn't it? Assuring us of his abiding presence, assuring us of our future, assuring us of our past. Their sins I will remember no more. That's why we can read in Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because as the east is far from the west, so far has it removed our sins from us. Do you forgive your wife readily? Does she know that you forgive her? You are forgiving her with all your heart. You know, we can say, I forgive you, but she knows that you haven't. You're just trying to be nice. When she's not assured of that, it causes it difficult for her to be in a good mood. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall do what? Cleave to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. Does your wife feel that cleaving, that bonding? Does your wife feel that she's the most important person in your life? More important than your father or mother if they are still alive? More important than your children, more important than your siblings. Does she feel that sense that she's the most important person in your life next to Jesus Christ? Does she? Because if she doesn't, you'll have a hard time meeting her emotional needs. Because there will always be that sense of, no amount of telling her, you're just being jealous unnecessarily will solve any problem. Because you're the one creating the room for her to be jealous. She sees it. When your mother calls, the way you jump. When she calls the recharge card, the speed at which you send the recharge card, she compares it to the speed at which you send her own recharge card. And it makes her jealous that there is someone else more important in your life than her. Cleaving. You know how our culture is. When your uncle is visiting, those of you who have those uncles who come from the village or who are steeped in our tradition, when they visit and you are talking with your uncle, how do you behave? Suddenly your uncle is like Buhari visiting your house, isn't it? Your wife calls you, you say, I'm coming, come, yeah? But God says, therefore a man shall leave who? Father and who? And mother. And do what? And cleave to his wife. And the two shall become one. Does she feel that oneness? And interestingly, that verse in Genesis, Jesus repeated it in Matthew 19, isn't it? Apostle Paul again repeats it in Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. You uprooted her, right? From her family, from her circle of friends. Isn't it? Yeah. And brought her to your house, and we don't recognize you. You know what it feels like when you're in a strange place. Maybe the first time you went to school, how did you feel like, be it primary or secondary? or university, even though you should have been more mature in university, you still felt out of place, isn't it? Until gradually you made more friends, new friends, isn't it? Do you recognize that that could be an issue for your wife? And how conscious are you in helping her settle into your new circle of friends? Or recognizing that, hey, look, I have uprooted her from her the world she knew, so I have to help her settle into this new world that I brought her into. I know my people say something about a chicken that is brought to a new place will stand on one foot for a while until she settles down before she puts the second foot down. Though I haven't seen that happen, but that's a proverbial way of describing what it feels like to be uprooted from where you know to where you don't know. And that's something that our wives struggle with. And for many women, it takes ages, depending on how well we worked at it, how well we recognized that need and provided that support for her as she adjusted to her culture, as she adjusted to her family, as she adjusted to you, because we have our own ways of doing things, isn't it? Different. And a wife wants to please her husband. Are you making it easy for her? Are you telling her what you like and don't like, so she does not need to find them out the hard way? This need that women have for their emotional needs. You know, if your wife is not at the right place emotionally, forget about sex. That's one first thing that goes out the window. Somebody was asking how that, you know, is your own good. Remember who does the passage we read, that it is for your own good, right? To love your wife in Ephesians 5:28. And somebody was asking, how is it to my own good? One, many years ago, I have this friend who, his wife cooked. We were visiting and the wife cooked and served. And as she was putting the food there, she just announced to the husband, "Say, this is state of the mind food." The husband understood what she meant. The lady is a good cook, but she knew that she didn't, that food she was setting on the table didn't represent all that she could deliver. So she announced to her husband that that is state of the mind food. Yeah, so it shows up in her cooking, it shows up in her interest in sex, it shows up in other ways. You find that she's touchy, easily irritated, just different ways she tries to communicate to you, hey, look, you're not taking care of me. Many times when women say you're not taking care of me, they are not necessarily talking about material needs. If you meet your wife's emotional need, she can go to Sambisa Forest and back with you as many times as you want her to. So, if you fail in any other aspect of your marriage covenant, this one is the magic key that unlocks all the other keys. So when you find that your wife is being disrespectful, not that it excuses her being disrespectful, you can easily trace it back to her state of mind. When you find that your wife is, your house is disorganized and you're quarreling over why is the house disorganized, you can easily trace it back to her emotional state, because that saps their energy more than any physical activity does. So question, when you were getting ready to marry, did you know that getting married involved, that in getting married or in saying I do, that you were signing up to meet your wife's emotional need? that's part of the package. Well, yeah, feel free to answer. You knew? Okay. That's good. So you are one of the few who knew what they were getting into. When you fail to meet your wife's emotional need, what options are you leaving her with? Who do you want to meet that need? Yeah, you may tell yourself, oh, no, you know, I don't like, it's not in my nature, right? Let me ask you, Gideon, what is the thing, what are some of the special things you did for your wife when you were cutting that really, you saw that she really liked?
Talk to her a lot.
Talk to her a lot.
Like that. I'm not a geek person, though. Good time to give her a gift. Not really, wasn't really her.
No big deal. Yeah, my wife is like that. Gifts are not. In fact, if you go to her drawer, you find many gifts I have given. Some she hasn't even unwrapped. I mean, after unwrapping, she hasn't removed from the packet. The only reason she hasn't given them away is because it was a gift from me. Those are not their big deal. Does the wife like ice cream, flowers, chocolate? Some wives do. Many years I read this book. Well, it was a cartoon. A lady, an older lady, met a teenage girl in a park, looking very dejected, and she understood what the problem was. And she went to the teenage girl and said, it's him, right? Well, the girl said, yeah. And he won't give it, right? The little girl understood what the older woman was referring to. And what was it she was referring to? What does our wives need from us the most? Our hearts. And that's the one that we hold on to tightly, isn't it? Because to meet our emotional needs, our hearts need to be involved in the marriage. Somehow we activated it during courtship. We paid attention, we will read her every mood. True of us. Yes. And we were quick and ready to deal with the situation, right? But soon after we get married, what happened to that ability to read her every mood? You don't know what happened? Well, whatever happened to you, whether you switched it off or you put it on, disabled it, you know, God is asking us to reactivate it. In fact, as you're waking up in the morning, that should be the first program you should launch.
Yeah. I think also that some of us see that weakness, so some of us try to move away from it. You don't want to lean on the emotional side.
Because, yes, we were brought up to think that real men don't show emotions. Is there any man more real than Jesus Christ himself?
I also think the quest to meet other busy needs tend to suppress our sensitivity to the emotional.
Well, yes. Again, that is a that's a misplacement of priorities, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we think that what our wives need the most is all those things you provide for them.
Yeah.
Whereas the thing she needs the most is your heart.
But am I barred from
keto? No.
Am I barred from
keto? God, see, you see, some people have been trained, just as us men have. We are trained, men, real men don't show emotions. How many? Is there anybody here who hasn't cried before as an adult? If you haven't cried as an adult before.
Even most likely, I say that statement is not complete because
show of emotion is not just when tears come.
No, no, no. Look, yes. That's the point.
If your anger can show, no, and
that's the point.
Frustration can show, you're showing emotion.
Yes, that's the point. Okay, right. So.
I know it's